Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and welcome to Spinning Plates, the podcast where I speak to busy working women who also happen to be mothers about how they make it work. I'm a singer and I've released 7 albums in between having my 5 sons aged 16 months to 16 years, so I spin a few plates myself. Being a mother can be the most amazing thing, but can also be hard to find time for yourself and your own ambitions. I want to be a bit nosy and see how other people balance everything. Welcome to Spinning Plates. Hi, happy Mother's Day. What do you do if you are a mother? Or you have a mother that you celebrate for your Mother's Day? I'll tell you what mine Mother's Day is every year. I really look forward to it. It's a lion breakfast in bed. I got a lovely breakfast in bed today with a little vase of daffodils and some chocolates. And Richard even got me a little present, which was a tiny electric screwdriver. This is a good thing because I'm the one who does all the flat packs in the house. I love putting things together like that. And I love the fact I have my own screwdriver. I already have my own hammer, so I'll add it to the collection. Anywho, I have come out of the house. It's peaceful and quiet under the guise of collecting milk and ketchup. But I'm actually going to talk to you. So, I am going to learn from my mistakes, and I'm not going to keep ending the previous podcast with who I've got coming up because I've got it wrong twice. It's a new thing I was trying out. I've seen professionals do it. It doesn't work for me because I'm obviously not quite at that level yet where we're streamlined ship and everything always goes as it should. So, I know I said I'd be speaking to Ellie Taylor this week. That will be next week. This week... Okay, so I recorded this conversation back in November, and then there were some complications with putting it out because this is the first time ever I've spoken to 2 people at once, and they are incredible. They are called Mim and Liv Nervo. They are these beautiful Australian twin sisters who DJ and songwrite. They've written some massive tunes. I met them 10 years ago, maybe more actually. We wrote a song called Not Giving Up, which is a big trance record I did with a DJ called Armin van Buuren. But I had such a lovely time working with them. They were so full of energy. Oh, sorry if it's getting a bit windy. Rachel, tell me off for that with the microphone. They're so full of energy, so positive, so lovely. We had lots of giggles and we got lots done. And yeah, I was really thrilled with them. I mean, I see them every once in a while, but they travel the world a lot. And when I saw they were both pregnant at the same time, I thought, is that, you know, photography trick? Surely these girls who are so close together and also work together, you know, they're such good friends, I mean, as well as sisters. Surely they're not also having a baby at the same time. But they were. How lovely. And then it was my 40th birthday and I invited them to come to my birthday party. And Liv came with her six-month baby bump, and Mim with her tiny, I think then maybe only six-week-old baby strapped to her front. And poor Liv was in a bit of a state of shock, really. She'd found out 2 weeks before that the father of her baby actually wasn't going to be involved in her baby's life at all. He had another family. And so she was suddenly facing the prospect of raising a baby on her own. I mean, not completely on her own. She has Mim, she has family around her, but, you know, not in the way that she thought, and without a supportive father in the frame for her daughter. So when I came to speak to them, I would have spoken to them anyway. I mean, being international DJs who also have tiny babies, that's pretty unique. But obviously Liv has another side to her story, which is even more, well, it's not the typical, but sadly it's far from being the only story of its kind. So anyway, I should probably say there's a bit of a, maybe, I don't know, is it the right term, a trigger warning for anyone that might find it traumatic to listen to a tale where someone has, you know, gone through something very upsetting that involves deception and, being lied to effectively. But anyway, I don't really want to put it in my words. I want to let Liv tell her story. But I think the overwhelming themes are that Mim and Liv are such a powerhouse. Sometimes they're so entwined with each other, you won't be able to tell who's speaking when. It doesn't really matter, actually. If you get a bit confused sometimes, you'll know when it's when the time's right, you'll know when it's Liv and when it's Mim. And they're now raising these daughters who are cousins, but obviously they've got this sisterly bond too. So it sort of continues as it will. There's a lot of optimism and positivity there. But yeah, it's been sort of forged by fire, really, the framework of how they are raising their children. Anyway, as I said, they put it much better than I ever could. And I've really, by now, my family would have expected me to return home with the ketchup and the milk rather than just wandering around the back streets talking to you. So anyway, I will speak to you on the other side. And I hope me maybe has some tissues nearby. All right, lots of love. See you in a bit. Bye.
Why are we programmed to not like the sound of our own recorded voice? Don't you think that's quite odd?
Yeah.
No one likes the way they sound.
No,
when they
no.
Back.
You can cope with it though, Mim. You're better.
Well, when we're recording vocals, yeah. But speaking.
Oh,
speaking
yeah. Singing's voice, different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
But
yeah, oh, no. Then I can listen to myself forever.
To be fair. No, singing not for me. I can't.
Not joking. I'll never listen to myself back then either. I can't. It's really bad. I mean, Richard, because he's a bass player, when he's listening back to his album stuff, he'll listen to it over and over and over.
Oh, no, no,
and with
no,
me,
no,
I'm
no.
Like,
if I'm ever in a meeting or at a friend's house and they want to play our records, I'm like, please turn it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't relax.
I'm the same. Listening. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I don't want reverential listening either. I don't want anyone being like, you know, the head nodding and like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a really good one. Like, I'll stop it.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just take it away and listen to it privately.
Exactly.
I don't want to know. It's fine.
And actually, I like not listening to music a lot of the time. Like, I like silence.
Oh, really? So yeah. At home you don't have music playing?
No, I don't.
I like
the
talkback radio.
Well, you like podcasts.
I like classical music and talkback radio. How old am I?
No, but it's probably quite reassuring as well because it's a step outside of anything that might refer to work.
Yes,
so it
exactly
feels like it's just your own.
You're not
something
it.
Separate. I think that's quite healthy sometimes.
Yeah.
Where are your girls at the moment? Are they together?
They are. They're at home with our miracle nanny. We call her Miracle Megs. And she helps us, you know, in times like this when we have to both scoot off to do work.
She lives with us.
Oh, that's so nice. So, but you weren't all together through lockdown? Or you were?
No, Megs was with me in Australia and Mim was in Barcelona with her in-laws.
Yeah. Okay.
But Megs is one of six kids, so she can handle the drama as well, which is great.
That's very important.
Super important.
You might need to send her over here sometimes.
Yeah. Emergency shift.
Because sometimes, because it's quite a lot of kids here, you do feel like you need to sort of make sure people are all right with. Well, it's a certain pitch that happens in big families that's slightly different to small
families.
Yeah,
some people can't handle the drama, the constant drama. But we're two of four, Mm-hmm. So we're kind of used to the constant drama.
And where are you in the...
Right, we're in the middle.
In the middle, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I only just realised you've got different birthdays.
No, that's fake.
It's fake.
Yeah, there's
so much disappointing.
Fake. Wikipedia.
Yeah,
so
Wikipedia.
Yeah. You know, we try to edit that
I never even
time.
Normally look at Wikipedia. And someone looked it up earlier because I was telling Niall, who you met earlier.
Yeah.
And he's like, different birthdays. I didn't even know that. That's
no,
so...
it would be really
true.
Cool.
Oh.
It would be really cool.
Identical twins on different days.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Yeah. I can't believe that's fake. That's so funny.
I mean, we've tried to edit
it. Are you actually even sisters?
That's a conspiracy theory.
Let me call my mum. We've tried to edit it a million times, and each time it just gets edited back.
Mm. Who's doing that then?
I don't know.
No idea.
Someone who really likes the idea of you having different birthdays.
Who knows?
Are either of the dates on Wikipedia correct?
No.
No.
Oh, it's not. So
it says
18th of February, isn't it?
It says the 17th and 18th of October.
There you go.
Oh, well, we're the 18th of February. That is so weird.
Not even got the month.
That's random.
That's really funny.
Kids, Wikipedia needs funding. It does. It always asks.
Someone's
for.
Definitely fiddled with my one. I mean, and Rich's one for ages said something about how he had a heroin overdose backstage at a feeling gig. They just buried it in there.
Who would write
which
that?
He didn't. Yeah.
Oh, well, it gives him street cred a little bit.
I know, and someone's definitely edited mine. And then I've suddenly thought, should I go on there and make it correct? And I thought,
I don't think you
can. I can't be bothered.
I don't think because we've tried as ourselves and you can't do it as yourself. So we've gotten an assistant to do it and it always
gets changed back.
Whatever.
We go back to
the
October.
Worldwide web of...
I find that really funny.
Yeah.
Because also most people do start lazy research. Yeah. Not like me, obviously. I've extended.
Well, of course. What
but really,
do you do?
People look at Wikipedia all the time. Yeah. In fact, I actually love Wikipedia.
Yeah. You think it's an impartial view. Because if you go to an artist's website, you think they're upselling or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Where is the truth?
Scoop.
Right here on this podcast.
I know.
Exactly.
Maybe we could finally edit it back because of this podcast.
Exactly. Let's start a petition and get it changed. Or just keep it open, then you get birthday presents in February and
great.
In October.
Winning.
So it could work out quite well. In fact, you get 2 days in October, so it's all good.
That is how we worked it out, because everybody, all our fans were like, happy birthday. And we're like, so weird they're all saying happy birthday.
So out of sync with the reality.
Yeah.
I think we even posted a birthday post years ago to kind of set the record. Oh, happy birthday to us.
Yeah, and then everyone was.
You know what, as well? People don't really necessarily want the truth. It's like there's things that come up a lot of times, and then, you know, I remember recently there's a story that said that I was offered the Kylie song Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't. And I remember I did an interview, funnily enough, for an Australian radio show earlier in the year, because I was supposed to be touring Australia in April, and I'd already done a few bits of press for it. And so I said on this radio show, oh, no, that's not actually true. And they went, oh, we can set the record straight. I said, look, I'll tell you. Yeah. I didn't. And it will make no difference. People will still continue to think I did turn that song down. Yeah. And it's sometimes the truth just doesn't want to get in the way of a good story, you know?
Yeah. That's why I like things like these podcasts. And also the other day, I mean, I love a bit of the Daily Mail.
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to admit it, but yes, of course.
I just do. I love the economist.
How much of that do you think is real?
Well, not a lot of it, but I remember, you know, recently there's this saga going on with Will Smith and Jada.
Yes, I'm aware of the saga.
And she has this Facebook program
called
The Red Room.
Room or The Red Table or something like that.
Mm.
And it was really good because she was setting the record straight because the press had
But she only set the record straight when the whistle was blown.
Of course. But that's okay, isn't it?
Well, it kind of, for me, is a little bit of a reactive, I don't know.
Yeah,
up until that point, you believed that they were in this incredibly honest
relationship. Well, it was incredibly
relationship.
Honest.
Well, no, I don't think it was.
No, it was, Liv. They actually broke up, but they just didn't want to tell the world that they did break
up. Well, I guess that's the whole thing. They just didn't. They left out the bits. You leave out the bits, but then you still let this facade carry on by leaving out.
Yeah, but that opens up a big can of worms. Like, how much do you need to tell everyone?
I know,
really.
That's true.
I mean, you're like that, Soph. Like, you don't show photos of your kids, their faces, and, you know, you keep a lot of stuff private. I sometimes think people, it's nice to keep a bit of privacy, right?
Yeah, but it's so personal, those decisions, because everybody has their own thing. And for some people, what I've done with what I've shared is too much, and some people it's not enough. And I think,
yeah,
I think you just got to do what feels comfy for you. And my instinct is normally, if just before you post something or whatever or tweet something, you think, is this the right thing to do?
Don't do it.
It's probably the answer's no, yeah.
Yeah.
And occasionally I've done something and then it's always sort of bitten me back a bit. But I mean, look, I went during the lockdown, I ended up showing the kids, all of them, in my actual home.
Yes,
and
because
I
was a bit like this.
Yeah, and it just felt like suddenly the idea of the privacy thing just suddenly felt completely irrelevant because the whole world was so topsy-turvy.
But you share a lot of your life online, don't you?
Yeah.
Of your life, yeah.
But I did a little bit at lockdown, but I got coronavirus and honestly, I was out for 11 days. I was completely out. And then when I was finally getting better, my boyfriend got sick. And then when he was getting better, my mother-in-law got sick.
Oh, no. Didn't share it with all of them.
Yeah, we really did. That's why when I hear these stories about some people, how they don't maybe they lose their smell and their scent and that's it. You know, we had fever, we had sore throat, cough. Fatigue.
Yeah.
We lost our scent and our smell. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad I don't have coronavirus anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be back in the UK. And I think, you know, this is the new norm.
Yeah. But it's still shifting, isn't it? It's a little bit of standing on ice plates or something. Like, just stand up and get your balance and then something will kind of shift again.
I was reading an amazing quote the other day and I sent it to my friend actually. Let me get it out. It's a Darwin quote.
Oh, I love this quote.
Yeah.
Charles Darwin, it isn't adaptation. The strongest animal that survives. It's the animal most
adaptable.
Here we go. It's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent that survives. It's the one that is the most adaptable to change, that lives within the means available and works cooperatively against common threats.
Mm.
I think that's so incredible nice for right now.
Yes.
Because everyone gets stressed and understandably so with COVID because you're thrown into completely different situations of, you know, being with
jobless.
Your in-laws the whole time or being without income and having to feed your family. Mm. But it's true. We just need to adapt. We need to be able to try.
Well, I do think that maybe the fact that we're all musicians might have helped us a little bit because you'll have the same thing that I felt. And as soon as everything went topsy-turvy and my diary was clear, I thought, well, I'm so used to the fact that until I'm literally on stage doing the gig, it can always change
at
the last minute.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unnerving to have a completely, you know, quiet year, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But at least I'm used to that feeling of, you know, you're never doing it till you're there doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, it was a bit different with us because we were really... We're always booked up 6 months in advance. We can't change things.
No, but it did clear our calendar.
It cleared our calendar.
But normally your work's really, really
rigid,
regular.
Really rigid.
Yeah, that is quite unusual in the musician.
But that's only been for the last 10 years while we've been successful.
That's ages. It's just the last decade.
I know. I find like I know with me when I want to plan my personal time with my boyfriend, I've had to plan it months in advance.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay, I can see you this weekday,
you know,
oh my goodness,
really,
So you've had a big change then if you've suddenly found a lot more quiet and not working. And is that the longest you've not seen each other?
Physically, But we saw each other every day on Skype and Zoom or...
Does help.
That's true.
Yeah, we were doing, catching up on things like, you know, filing our Dropbox, you know, making our Dropbox.
Admin. Yeah. DJ
and it's
admin.
Still not even. We haven't even
scratched the surface.
No, exactly.
Well, I think maybe you're like me. I had such good intention at the beginning of sorting so many things. And then I had this weird, mad rush of it at the beginning. And I was like, you know, sorting out drawers and cleaning cupboards I hadn't touched for ages.
Amazing.
And then after about a month, the novelty just totally wore off. And I was
great that you lasted a month.
He's like, quite long.
We're disinfecting everything. We went around with alcohol and we cleaned absolutely everything. And I think that was the only time.
Oh, really? The first time?
Yeah, well, I've dusted things that never have been dusted before.
Uh-huh.
And now they look dusty again. So what was the point of that?
Yeah.
It turns out you have to do it regularly. Otherwise, there's no effect.
Well, you've got an army of helpers. That's what's good with you
as
well.
Do I?
Are they helpers? Do they?
No.
Really?
Aww. No. No, they're not really helpers, no. No, they kind of just poodle around, do their own thing. Everybody leaves their little trail.
Oh.
I think if I just step back, I'd be able to tell what everybody did all day and where they were. Yeah, definitely.
See, I think our family, our parents had kids so that we would help because we all had...
Well, we were trained to help,
chores,
weren't we?
Non-stop.
And weekends were garden time, you know, time to help dad in the garden on the weekend.
And we were all separated and had our own patches.
Oh, wow.
That we needed to do. So
did it work? Do you think you had a positive effect on?
Do you know what? We're so different. And actually, when you speak to our siblings, we all have such a very different recollection of our upbringing, which is so weird. We all lived in the same house.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
I think we had a great upbringing.
Yeah.
It was strict.
It was strict.
Yeah.
But you'll speak to our sister and she thinks, well, she should have been able to do this, that and the other, and she didn't get this, that. And so it's very interesting.
Mom and Dad were a bit more strict with her.
Because like, she was the first.
First school dance, she wasn't allowed to wear a skirt that was shorter
above her knee,
mm-hmm. or anything like that. Mm. And I remember when she got really upset at that
because we wore miniskirts.
Yeah, well, that's quite often the way, isn't it, when the first ones had the slightly more stricter upbringing, the next one is just like, and it's also, there's the two of you.
Exactly.
So it's a bit more of a force. Like, it is hard as a parent if you're outnumbered with kids. So, suddenly there's three of you all wanting to do the same things, even though she's older, so...
Yeah, and then I think with my brother, he didn't care about the dances, the school dances, did he?
Whereas us girls did.
Yeah. And they're probably even more lax on him.
Big time.
Oh, I think you're under the radar, number four. It's just sleeping off and doing his own thing. I already know my fourth will be the one who's shimmering down the drainpipe, for sure. And he's only four, but I can see it.
It's
funny. I can see that look in his eye.
Do you ever, because you've got all your kids now with all different ages, do you ever worry that, you know, you're doing something wrong that could, like, disturb them mentally in their life later on? Like,
of course, yes.
Yes.
That's parenting in a nutshell, isn't it?
I worry about that.
For better and for worse. I mean, I think...
I try not to, but...
Sometimes I feel like a really great mum and other times I feel like a terrible mum. And I like to read up about stuff and have conversations with other parents and take on board new things. And sometimes I think, oh, my goodness, I've been doing it all wrong. I should have...
Yes.
I should just start again. I should have done this, that and the other. And... I think parenting as a whole is just a lot more reactive than I thought. I thought it was more about what you intended to do. But actually, you get your small person and then they dictate so much about from you. I mean, how old are your little girls now?
My little girl's 14 months.
And mine is 16 and a half months.
How crazy is that? They're so close. Don't you think that's crazy? I mean, obviously, as you're... You work together now.
We live together.
Yeah,
as
you live together. Yeah. So when you found out you were both having babies at the same time, did that feel like, of course we are, or was it?
Well, yeah, because we're both trying at the same time.
Yes,
and
we were lucky. We both got
pregnant super
quickly.
Easily.
That could have been really difficult, couldn't it? If one of you was much further on, and
and then it was just perfect as well with taking breaks. It was great.
It was perfect,
and now it's even more perfect.
Yeah,
I see. Already the benefit in the two little girls, they don't, at the moment, they don't share the same nappy size, but often they do.
Oh, you can make nappies fit different size.
Yeah. Just go bigger.
Get bigger, exactly.
Don't go small.
And do they react a lot when they saw each other after they've been apart?
Yeah.
But they're at the stage, though, where they annoy each other a bit,
They want to teach them how to share.
Mm. I know grown-ups that are bad at that.
Yeah.
It's just, they want both. We bought two parrots and they're identical. We wanted one for each kid.
Mm.
And for some reason, my daughter Ithaca will want both of them and steal them both, and then Ace will want the other,
Do you find she is a bit more dominant, being that little tiny bit older?
They take it in turns. No, I actually think Ace is a bit more ballsy.
Yeah. Your girl's a little more gentle, I think.
Yeah, Ace is...
And so where do you get your advice, like, for five kids?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons why I started the podcast. Because, when you start doing a project and then halfway through it kind of dawns on you why... Like, you think, what made me want to do this? And I think I've been spending time talking to... all these other amazing women.
Mm.
And I always wanted to talk to you guys because I think there's a lot about our work that's similar.
Yes.
But also I think there's lots of things that would be just totally unique to you. And I think it's for me to get advice and sometimes solidarity and sometimes to be reassured and other times just to be encouraged.
Learn.
To learn. I think as well, I even though my mum was really strong and was always a working mother, I think...
Is your parenting similar to your mother's?
In a lot of ways, yes. But I think I've struggled more with giving myself permission to have my own thing than she didn't seem to. She always seemed to be brilliantly sort of guilt free, even though she was always working. And in a brilliant way, like we've got a brilliant relationship. I never resented any of her work. It didn't occur to me. But I think I've sometimes been a bit more apologetic about
having to go off to go for work.
Yeah, and also the fact that I need it. It's not just something I do. Mm. I want that for myself, and I've had to sort of remind myself. So I think it's part of the reason I'm having the chats anyway,
I remember, I think your parents can teach you so much, and grandparents as well. We're lucky our grandmas are still alive, and they were very involved in our upbringing. But I, what I like about speaking to peers and women in your same age group or who've had kids maybe a few years before you, like when I spoke to you about sterilizing.
Oh, yeah.
You were the first person that said to me, don't worry about sterilizing those bottles. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of time and you're busy. And just, you know, wash it with hot water and soap and make sure you wash it well and that's good enough.
But you know what? I didn't get up. So I've got my girlfriend Lauren told me that when I had my third.
Oh, no. She's like, what a waste.
Do you see what I mean? She was like, are you still sterilizing? I was like, well, yeah. And she goes, look, you don't, if you're breastfeeding, you don't sterilize everything. Like, yeah. It's okay. As long as things are clean and it's fine. So that was like passed down, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I spent a lot of time doing things like that. And, you know, there's no judgment about any of it. You know, if someone's just sterilized to the seven or whatever, or any of the things we end up doing, they're all, some of them are common sense things and some of them are there to make us feel like we're doing the best job for our small people. So there's sort of different ways you're approaching everything and learning on the hop, aren't you?
And simply, of course, especially your first child, when you have a kid, if it's such a disruption in terms of you know nothing about it. You've been working so hard at your career for so many years, so you feel confident in that. But then when a baby comes along and you're like, oh, do I need a crib? Do I need a special pillow for them to sleep in? Do I need a sterilizing machine?
Well, you're a new consumer market as well, so they'll be like, you need these things for the best kind of baby. But I mean, you said you felt confident about your career, but how long did you take before you went back to work with your babies?
Oh, don't. That super was terrible. Like 8 days.
I was going to say, it looked like you didn't really stop for 8 days?
Yeah, but we got 11 days. I think
I got guilted terribly.
Yeah.
Terribly.
You got guilted, what, from the work you had booked?
We had a client that we were working for. We were doing like a branding deal for them.
It was it's a three-year deal.
It was a three-year deal.
In the deal.
And we had to
do service days.
Service days, and we had to provide assets so they could post on their, you know, social media or use them. And anyway, we
did, after year one, they had the option to pick up year two and three. And we said to them, we knew we were pregnant at that time, so but we hadn't told anyone.
No, and also because I had a threatened miscarriage, so I was like really not telling anyone. Yeah. I hadn't told our agent. We told our agent about you.
Yeah.
But we were
we said to them, look, guys, I know you're going to be expecting us to create some more content because it would be them having a film crew come and create content for us.
But because they wanted to shoot it right in the time when I was 7 months pregnant, so I was going to be big and fat and didn't really want to be shooting visuals for it, you know, that big. And Mim was just, basically would have had a newborn.
And I said to them, if you need us to create content at that time of the year, do not pick up option two. We don't want to do this deal.
Yeah.
And it was a woman who was running the whole campaign. And she's like, don't worry, I'm a mother. I get it. We'll create tools beforehand, or if we don't get the chance, we'll do something creative.
Yeah.
And then what do you know?
Yeah.
Literally a week before I gave birth, our agent was like, you have to do this, that you've signed the contract. Oh, and we were like, no, I told you we didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
Feel terrible for you. That's awful.
It was awful. And what's worse is, oh God, our house was broken into on the shoot.
The shoot was a disaster Ithaca was 11 days old. Mim's partner wasn't in town.
He had to
point, we hadn't had a nanny. I was 7 months pregnant. And so we found a nanny.
7.5 months
pregnant. Yeah, we found a nanny, but then somebody left a suitcase on the road with all of our everything in it, our clothes. And of course it got stolen because it's in Notting Hill. So it was just a disaster.
It was a total disaster.
That is, I can feel the pain of that.
And then the house got robbed because of something in the suitcase and it was like just a dominoes of like, we didn't want to do this job.
That's basically bullying you as well. And someone, as you say, the people who reassured you, just not thinking at all about how you
they
were feeling.
Or... I'm sorry, they don't care.
No,
business is
agents,
business.
Agents don't care.
No.
Their job is to get you gigs. But the problem is we did warn them. We gave them 6 months notice. Yeah. And even the company, we said, please don't continue with the contract.
I mean, I remember when I was having Mickey, I got a job offer, but they said, but the thing is, and I knew I was going to be about 7 months pregnant. They said, but the clients asked if you can dress so it doesn't look like you're pregnant.
Oh,
I was like, well, no, I'll be pregnant.
Well, how am I
going to get
that?
A pregnant woman on stage if that's what you can get me? And how creepy anyway? Why do you want to conceal my pregnancy from your guests? It is rude.
Yeah.
That is rude.
Yeah. And I also had a traumatic one where I'd booked in when I had Ray, my third, Because I'd had the other two prematurely, I had a DJ gig that was in the diary. Mm-hmm. And I remember when it got booked and I thought, well, I'll probably have him early.
Yeah.
Not planning premature births, but I just assumed it would happen. Yeah. So by then he'll be like 3 months, I'll be fine. And of course he came full term. And
oh no.
So he was, and I'd forgotten all about it. And I remember the week before looking at my diary and going, oh my God, Richard, we're supposed to be in, I think it was like Serbia or something next week.
Yeah.
And and it was too late to get a passport for him and I just had to leave. And I remember the night before just sobbing.
Balling
I could not stop crying. Yeah. It was like he was being pulled off me with Velcro, like ripped off me. Like, you can't leave this tiny baby. I just was all, and I vowed to myself, I will never, ever put myself in that situation.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you know what happened with us, which I found really interesting, is we did go back to touring, so quite extensively.
A month. Was it, I got 1 month off.
You did.
I remember crying at Stansted Airport.
But we toured with our babies. They had
such a tiny baby.
They got passports within 3 weeks. It was amazing. Yeah. And so we did tour with the newborns for 6 months, which was quite easy. It was easy in terms of they just sleep the whole time.
Mm.
But one thing that was really interesting.
Like, yeah.
No, but one easy. Thing that was super, was a little
it's
bit
doable.
Traumatic.
It's doable.
Just, yeah. Mm. But your body, when you're breastfeeding, does not like touring in the baby.
No.
When you're at home and you're in a lovely schedule, you are creating a lot of milk and everyone's happy. Mama's breasts are happy and baby's happy. But it happened to us last week. We were in Belgium. We had a job for some unicorn promoters that we work for. And the same thing happened to you, Liv.
Oh, no, breastfeeding for me was the hardest thing to do while touring. Just the managing of it, you know, a pump breaks, you know, I was an idiot and got the electronic one at the beginning. But of course, you know, if you lose one part or if, you know, there's not a strong enough surge of power, then it doesn't work. So luckily I moved on to the hand pump ones.
Yeah, the manuals.
But I was...
I couldn't even get on with them. So I don't think you are foolish.
Oh,
the
really?
Electronic ones are supposed to be... I mean, that's what I used to use, but...
Oh, really? No, no.
I know that panic of when it's not working.
Oh, when it's
you
not...
get obsessed with the idea of not being able to... keeping your milk going. The amount of things I've Googled of, like,
oh, gosh.
How long can you be apart from your baby? And, of course, you get all these Mumsnet people going, well, I mean, you can leave your baby, but just don't.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not go on that trip? Why don't you just not do the work? And you're like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I just want someone supportive.
Like, our mum is a super mum.
Our mum flew over for my birth because I had a horrendous breakup when I was 6 months pregnant. Remember, I found
out. Yeah, well, that, I know. I was
the old double life of with my boyfriend. So then when I found that out when I was 6 months pregnant, and then my mum, and I was terrified of being a mum,
Be completely
a single
alone.
Mum.
Yeah. Like, well, we were there, but still.
Yeah.
having to push a child out at birth on my own. Like the whole thing, I was
literally...
Were you
terrified already of the idea of having a baby or giving birth?
I mean,
or
I just... wasn't... Well, do you know what? No, I wasn't terrified until this whole thing happened. Then I was really terrified.
I think you'd been programming yourself for so long to have a baby with your ex.
Partner. Yeah. Well, we'd been speaking about it.
Yeah, you'd been speaking about it for years and then you were expecting
him. Was this someone you've been with for quite a while?
Yeah, I was with him over 2 years, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, yeah. And it was a topic of our conversation since like the first couple of months that we were together. But then so anyway, I went through a major traumatic breakup and my mum came over and I remember... I think Ace was a month old and I had to go to Holland just for one night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I went to Holland. I remember being at Stansted and that pump broke. Mm. So I remember being in the toilet and I didn't know how to express because no one had taught me how to express. So I'm literally crying over a sink in Stansted going, why am I on this plane?
Yeah. Getting why on this did plane? You accept this gig?
Yeah, yeah. You do have those moments.
I mean, obviously not everybody can relate to the idea of having to fly and do that sort of work with a tiny baby, but I think every mum that's gone back to work when they're still breastfeeding their baby will know that feeling of just the...
Horrible.
The desperation and, like, I mean...
Yeah.
It's sadness.
It is sadness. And it also feels like the most important thing you're doing at the time is feeding a baby. And I think particularly if you're sort of dealing with the... weirdness of being back at work and the worry about all that. It's a job you can know you're doing that sort of connects you to the fact that you're a new mum. Because otherwise you feel like you want to go up to everybody and go, you know, I've just had a baby. I've actually got a really small baby at home. And I think that I've had bits where, there's been problems with breast pumps and things breaking and stuff. And then you just feel like, this is awful. I've sacrificed the ability to feed my baby for a job. Like, what was I thinking? What's wrong with me and my priorities? You just feel like really screwy in your head. And actually, I think once you... stop breastfeeding, you get your brain like recalibrates.
Yeah, you were saying, I can't wait for that.
Clarity comes back.
It does a bit because I think it sort of takes over. Well, just for me anyway, it was like I was sort of almost obsessed with feeding. I think
that's a great obsession. Feed your baby.
I think it worked for me because I had hospitalised babies, the first two, and so they weren't with me. Mm-hmm. And it was the one job I knew that the doctors couldn't do. It was like, okay, this would be my role. I will wear that hat and... take home the industrial pump I got sent out from hospital.
Yeah, we did
they've
that
really
too.
Improved a lot since then. But
it's like still pretty industrial, don't worry. It's still pretty big and heavy, the one. It makes this horrible noise.
Oh, yeah, all of that. I remember so well, yes. How does it work in your field, though? Because so much of what you do is on stage and it's young and it's youth culture
it
and it's
young,
clubby.
Yeah. Well, we were really worried about that whole youth culture thing because our fans are young, you know,
it's 15, 16, 17.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't know. I think they've kind of moved with us a little bit. And I think, I mean, certainly from when we do post the babies.
Yeah, we get a lot of love when we post baby photos.
We probably lost a whole bunch of fans, but I think we might have gained some.
I think it also goes back to Liv and I, we did want to keep a few things private as well.
Like
our social media, like there's so many things going on in the world all the time, so many tragedies going on at the, you know, and we don't like to post on all the tragedies. We like to,
like what tragedies?
All the big issues. I know we posted, of course, on Black Lives Matter.
Oh yeah.
But you know, and we did post on the fires in Australia.
Yeah.
But the fires in California, we didn't post on. And there'll be certain worldwide topics that are sad that we don't post on because we like to keep our page happy and bright and exciting.
Also, you're positive people and what you're doing is a positive thing that you do. And when you're DJing, your whole thing is the catharsis and the escape away from...
Of course.
Everybody knows about all these things and I've spent a lot of time thinking about this too because when you're an entertainer and things are... quite cataclysmic stuff's happening globally, you think, is it okay that I'm doing something that's quite sort of lighthearted when some people are going through tough things? But actually humans, we're really complex and we can have all those emotions running concurrently. And especially, you know, when you're talking about a platform like your celebrity platform, there'll be other places that will be supplying them with all the information about the fires in California and how it's affecting people and the rescue efforts and what's going on. They don't necessarily need us to also be the people informing them, or because they're getting that information as well in their feed. You know, we're just sort of providing a different tone that's also reactive to what's going on, because you do have to be reactive. And did you find
There is a pressure to, we have to post on this because this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, I suppose you get people sometimes going, why are you not mentioning about this? Or, you know, that can be quite...
Well, I read an article the other day where there's, Red Bull, the company, they just fired three of their COOs or whatever, CEOs, the high up people. And they've been patronized. Yeah, they've been...
Ridiculed.
That's the word I'm looking for. They've been ridiculed for not posting on the Black Lives Matter movement. And we did post.
Yeah.
But that pressure to post as well, it's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Because everyone's talking about it. You do agree with what a lot of people are saying. Mm. You know, I find that I don't like posting all the time, and I find it's a big pressure of ours.
Yeah.
Because it's your window to the world. I don't enjoy making political statements. I just don't. I know at the moment we do go a bit more deep, especially now, like Mother's Day, we posted something quite strong.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's funny when something happens to you, your eyes open like you have a child, and then suddenly you become so aware of what it takes to be a mother, or you go through a betrayal or a trauma and you become aware. But yeah, we did.
So it was Mother's Day when you posted about your experience.
Yeah, because I was literally frozen. I couldn't. And a lot of people asked, you know, because Mim's very, well, prolific, especially her partner's in the public eye.
He loves social media. he's always posting.
His post is all about Mim and their baby and stuff. And so we got a lot of questions, like, is it the same guy? Is it the same dad? You know, Liv, who's this guy?
Could you imagine?
And I know you laugh, but... Honestly,
the amount of times even friends asked us, it was
not friends.
Well, colleagues.
Well, yeah, but
what? Just
not
like
friends.
Casually, like yeah, so. What? Yeah. Same dad?
Yeah. You would be surprised how many people
with people.
I know.
Sorry.
Just makes you think a lot of people are very sick in the head.
Yes, that's true.
But also, it's such a weird thing to, even if you're thinking it. Well, which I'm surprised at, to actually then ask is really brazen, isn't it?
It is brazen. But I think, like yourself, you were like, well, you got pregnant at the same time. How did that happen? It is a bit of a freak factor when people see us with two kids at the same time.
It doesn't mean it has to be the same person.
No, I agree. But it's...
Do people not understand how this thing works?
I think people don't realise.
It's possible you just, you know, met other people at different, same sort of time frames. Chronology can still work.
Well, that's all it was.
Yeah,
but we, I don't know.
We pick and choose, I guess, to go deeper with our posts.
But with, you know, with what happened, what made you want to post? Because I appreciate that you feel like you're certainly set on the record straight, but sometimes these things come from something else. It's not just about that.
I mean, I've been through every single emotion under the sun, and there's still a lot of anger involved in
what
happened.
We'll just give a little recap. Basically, you explain your story.
So I found out when I was 6 months pregnant that my partner of over 2 years actually had a longer-term partner, a girl that he was with in Auckland for 12 years, and he had two children, and we were both pregnant at the same time.
We haven't told you this?
Yeah. I didn't know all the details.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I told you.
Well, I knew that he had a partner.
He actually had another partner
He had three women, actually. Yeah. It's a horrible story, but he, three at the same time for one part, but there was just two of us for the most part.
I'm so sorry. Though.
Oh, Sophie, honestly. Yeah, I went into proper shock.
But it gets even worse.
So we were both pregnant.
How can it get worse from that?
Oh. We were both pregnant at the same time. Yeah. They were through
this
IVF.
This is the girl in Auckland.
The 12-year relationship. And I found out, I mean, through this crazy sequence of events, but basically the sister of his partner found me in his office. And the deceit was so crazy. A lot of his mates were in on it. All his work colleagues were in on it.
What?
They all knew about our relationship.
The godfather to his first child was the one that actually set her up.
Who introduced me to him, three and a half years
ago. And he went to school with his...
With the part. I call her the wife. So I just went through this like, whoa, what I've been living has been a lie for a couple of years, and I'm 6 months pregnant. What the hell am I going to do? And so I see the world differently. It's really changed. Oh my God, I don't want to cry.
There's nothing wrong with crying. That's a big thing. But also, look that you're here and strong, and you've come so far.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy what a mind and heart can endure.
It is, but also, you know, this won't be just your story. There are other people that, that experience this.
You do. But now I just have such like a strong, admiration for single mums.
Yeah. Of course.
You know, just do it. I'm sorry.
No, I knew there would be tears because it's...
you don't realise, because when you... We did come from a lucky family. Our parents are still together. You know, that's what we envisage for our life.
Yes.
Going back to that Darwin quote, Liv was... thinking she was on the path to that.
To that, yes.
And and I think that's what's happened. It's just shattered her whole...
A lot
of dreams. And now she's doing so much research. She's been listening to podcasts and that kind of stuff. And sadly, there is a world of women and men that are gravely betrayed by their partners.
Yeah. And I think actually what you say about your own upbringing is it's very... Everybody thinks that you are. You definitely are. And you have examples of what you don't know until you're older, how much of is programmed and learnt behaviour by the time you're only tiny, like 7 or 8. Yeah. You've already learnt your first experience of how love is demonstrated, how, your relationship with finance, actually money, these things are something little, your relationship with food, all these things become things that are actually learned from when you're really small. Mm. And everybody, assumes that growing up in a happy family, together family.
It is amazing.
It has untold rich, but it also can sometimes actually set a really high bar, because if you see your mum and dad, and it's been a traditional household and they always seem really truthful. Solid. Yeah.
But it not just sets a high bar. You don't realise that people like this exist. You don't realise.
And rightly so. Most people are not like that. This world is, believe the world is full more good people than bad people.
Yeah, I believe that too. But I think people are difficult.
I think part of growing up in a, like at least an honest environment, don't get me wrong, I don't feel like I or we are like naive people. I think I'm quite cynical. You know, in business we've been done over more times than I can remember. And so I don't feel, and I obviously have had friends cheat on me and partners cheat on, friends, everybody I know gets cheated on at one point. But I think what happens is when you grow up in an environment where you there's more truth, you don't actually believe that a massive lie could be happening.
I don't know. No, of course not.
It's hard to explain still. It's just still hard to wrap your head around it.
It is. Well, even from where I'm sitting, there's like a billion things that I'm thinking, and most of it is just... What is going on in the head of someone that
they're really sick.
It's pathological.
It is pathological. And I think...
But it's hard when you're a first-time mum. How do you teach your kid? What do you say to your kid when your kid's like...
Oh, that's what happened.
3 years old. Well, that's stressful.
Oh, it's a constant...
I don't know what to say to little AC.
Well, presumably her dad is not in the picture.
Oh, he's completely ghosted.
Disappeared.
He won't even answer a text message.
And you don't know if he's got any involvement with the other...
Oh, no, he lives with woman one. He lives with woman one.
Yeah.
I mean, this would have come out of the lockdown anyway, presumably. Yeah. We would have had to choose.
Well, also, what's crazy is their baby was born on our birthday.
Our real birthday.
February 18th. Not October.
Not the October one.
And so it would have been, had he carried on, he would have carried on because, he really would have.
People like that think they're being very clever.
He loved the triple life.
The thing is, deceiving people.
Excruciating.
Yeah.
I think...
It's next level.
It is next level. It's a movie. It really is. And... unfortunately, I've learned it happens to more people than you would believe. It isn't just the movies.
No.
There are, I think the hardest thing, I was in a park the other day and, God, I didn't even tell you, Mim. There were kids playing with little Ace and they're all playing in the dirt and they're all varied ages. And one of them goes, "Where's your dad?"
Aww.
And I was just like, because the mother had seen me there every day, and I just go, "Oh, she doesn't have one." And then I just literally burst out crying because it was the first time that I'd ever had to, because she's 14 months, no one had ever asked me that question.
Yeah, of course.
So then I went home and I was like, I need to change that answer. She does have one. He just lives.
Yeah, but what do you can't give someone
on the side of the world.
You know what? I think you're entitled to whatever answer is good for you, actually, with that. I don't think he's lost any right to dictate how you paint him. And you know what? Everybody who wants to be a mum or who finds themselves having a baby has a version of the ideal event. But then life doesn't, never turns out quite like that anyway. But also there's lots of ways to have a family around you and lots of ways to raise a baby.
Well, people tell you that. They always tell you, you know, flip it, reverse it, you know,
It's like Obama came from a single mum.
Yeah, and they tell you that's what happens. People tell you what happened, you know, they give you the silver lining, but just something about being conditioned to this, like, partnership. Like, I don't think anything ever prepares you for being a single mum. Like, it's really...
Yeah, and also it's very recent. So I think I understand why people would be saying that, but I actually think you've got to go through the process of grieving for that life that is not what you expected.
No.
And the joy in it is the relationship you have with your little girl.
Yes.
And that's where the magic is. But feeling all the spectrum of emotions, that's totally, and that's what happens with trauma, actually.
That, yeah, it's, you know, definitely
I've got girlfriends
trauma
that have had their families, just, you know, one of my girlfriends going through a horrible breakup, and you know, she just kept saying to me over and over, this is just not where I pictured myself.
Of course,
I wanted to be with my other half and raising our kids together. That's what was supposed to be happening. And I think reconciling that, it's shock, actually.
Yeah,
it's
going
through shock.
Yeah,
you know, and when something awfully traumatic happens, like if your other half had been in an awful accident and died.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
People understand the shape of that grief.
Yeah, they do.
Because it has a very obvious... But when it's something that's complex
emotional
and involves deceit and this sort of web, then there's all this other stuff. And probably sometimes people have asked you questions, you're thinking, I don't want to be answering that. I'm really hurting. I don't want to be starting to, you know, marvel at the extraordinary situation I've inadvertently walked into. No, I'm not in a film. This is my actual life, you know.
Yeah.
But the world is full of strange people, but I still do believe most people are good. They are. That's why people react that way, because it's not, you're not alone, but it's also not that commonplace. And that it must be hard to keep the perspective. And it must be weird for you to see your sister having to go
horrible
through that and not...
horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I was listening to a podcast on single mom survival the other night, and it was this girl who had been raped, and the baby came. She actually took the morning after pill when she went to the hospital. And but sure enough, she was still pregnant. So she had the baby. And anyway, long story short, she was in university when this happened and she needed some money. So she approached the father because she knew who he was, because he worked in the diner at the school, at the university.
God, that's terrible.
And get this, so then he gives support, like income or whatever, part of his income. And then he asks for custody of his child. So she was talking about how she manages that whole situation. I was like, okay, maybe my situation isn't quite as bad. But so that's why when you asked to do this podcast, I was like, look, you know what? Maybe I think they've really helped me podcast. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's been my therapy.
And when you put the post up, did people, was it... Have there were things in the reaction that were helpful, or did people you knew
amazing
come forward?
Yeah. A lot of the reactions were beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm. And again, so many people saying thank you for sharing.
It felt
this
freeing.
This is a similar story.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I thought
it felt freeing to me because I was so sick of all the questions of where's the dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just going to also have to work out how to manage that in the future. Also for little AC, I don't know what to say to little AC. God.
Well, we'll just have to work
it out. Yeah, but the story will unfold.
It will unfold.
I know never to say a bad word about her father, because you're never meant to say bad
words.
Or
his family.
Or his family.
She'll figure it out anyway. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, I think that's a good instinct, but actually I think it won't be that long before she'll start working out. You know, she'll ask her own questions, actually. And
well, that's why I asked you, like, do you ever worry about what you're doing will have psychological effects on your child?
Yes, massively.
Later on in life. Like, I'm just high alert, like I have this massive hurdle.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing I found
to manage it well
to cut you massive amounts of slack all the time. Mm. That doing enough is good enough actually.
Yeah. And doing your best.
Yeah, it really is, and you can't. We are going to all do things where the kids turn to us and go, "Oh my God, you used to do X, Y, Z, and that's I hated that, or that really upset me, or you know." I mean, Sonny tells me one time, "What did he say I called him when he was little?" It wasn't. It was something like I said, "Oh, you were a bit cocky about something." Like I must have said it like years ago, and he still brings. I don't even remember saying it. Interesting. But to him, he said something like, "It was the first time anyone had said anything to me that made me realize something just about me could be a really bad thing without knowing." And it was like, oh, terrible. Yeah. But that's just, it's going to happen. You're going to do stuff. But as long as you give them lots and lots of love and also communicate with them when... Yeah, and actually, there's lots of talk and research about how positive it is to show them coming out of failure or things not going to plan. Your daughter's going to grow up knowing you can go into the fire and walk out the other side. And
yeah, I think that's beautiful.
It's true. Well, she's going to be like, look at your high role model, huh?
At least her bar won't be that high as a whole. Like,
oh, I don't know about that. Unit, she's going to be like, my mum is the strongest woman I know.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
When it comes to partner,
she'll probably she'll just have a kid with a donor. Yeah. Really want to be a single mum.
No,
I don't know.
Because there's also other ways to have, you know, strong, great male people, you know, male figures in your life. There's always, I'm a really big believer in the sort of community aspect of raising children.
Well, they say that, don't they?
Yeah, it takes a village.
It takes a village.
It does.
And look at the two of you together. Exactly.
I think that all the time. I see them together, these gorgeous little cousins. They will always have each other live. And
I really hope so.
Half of their DNA is identical.
Yeah, they're kind of identical.
So they're kind of like sisters anyway.
So when you both had girls, did you think, do you think, of course we do? Yeah, we've got like, of course we've got like, it's mini us. Like,
oh no, they look there so we are. Different.
You say that, but I don't think so. I can tell they're both your babies.
Really?
So therefore, they definitely look like each other. So yeah. I think there's strong gene pool there.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Well, when I look at Ithaca, like older photos, I see Ace. But right now in the moment, Ithaca's just that little bit older.
Yeah.
So much more hair that I can't really put it together related.
Definitely. You know what I find crazy about the whole single motherhood and fatherhood, because it happens to fathers as well, but I just don't understand the psychology behind people that can purposely create a child and then
walk away.
Well, I mean, I suppose you'd have to look at, you know, what happened to them and their model, and because some people I not to generalize, but my experience of it anecdotally has been the fathers that find if they feel like they don't have a map about the kind of dad they want to be or what they're modelling for their kids, they can really freak out. And it might be
walking away.
Well, obviously I can't relate to it, but for you know,
for me, it's the grandmother.
Oh, yes.
The whole family.
Even the other woman.
I get it. But, like,
no, you're right.
And you've had a son. You love your other granddaughters, you know.
I also think the woman won. I can't believe she's just like, oh, he's working on himself now.
Oh, so she knows about all of it.
Oh, yeah, because when her sister found me.
Yeah,
obviously,
but now this woman is ignoring Liv as well, because Liv's
like... Well, she just doesn't want to get involved. She
doesn't want to
working
think
on her life with her two little girls, well, one little girl and one medium girl.
Yeah, but the thing is, her daughters have a sister. And it's like, come on, don't punish. Don't shoot the messenger just because Liv discovered it. Like, come on. There's like a whole... I don't get it. I don't get any of it.
Well, no, me neither. And also there's something very sort of old-fashioned about the idea that you're the one who's sort of been shamed away from being able to have the contact, when actually he's the one who did set it all up. Like, he's just...
Like, had Liv been having an affair that she knew about, had she known that he was a taken man, I completely understand the family turning their back. I get it.
Yeah.
Because you're acting, you know...
Yeah, it's
you're a homewrecker.
Yeah, of course.
But you had zero idea. In fact, you were... It was the absolute
unless
opposite.
She's been led to believe that
was... No. There's no way she could
He lied on doctor's certificate saying he'd never had kids.
No,
lies are crazy. The fake everything, telephone numbers, everything.
Yeah.
Maybe in the fullness of time you'll feel like they've kind of done you a favour, because you can just go, okay, it's me and my girl. and the family we have, and let's do this.
Well, we all joke about daddy's issues, don't we? And now, like, you know, I really, that's what I worry about. I worry about daddy issues, you know, abandonment issues and that kind of thing.
That's going to be your worry in your next chapter of life, Liv.
Yeah.
I can understand the worry, but from where I'm standing, I don't see it, because she's not got someone doing anything. She doesn't know any different. Kids are amazing. They never compare where they should have been or what should have been happening, you know, and there's so many different ways to have a family, and, you know, everybody's really good at dealing with that. I mean, I've got a friend that just had a donor baby, and, you know, so beautiful. there's no dad there, and there was never going to be the dad. And, you know, I just don't think anyone's going to be, she's not going to ever fill in the gap of like another life. All she would have known.
There's a lot of women having donor eggs. I have a few friends that are doing it right now, and I'm really interested.
Well, you're thinking about giving one of your eggs. We got our eggs frozen when we were 30 or 29, because our career started to just take off, and we both went through tour breakups, so we had a bunch of eggs on ice, and now a very good friend
who's had a horrible time getting pregnant.
Just 13 miscarriages misses on IVF. And
13 years of trying to have a baby. And she just doesn't want to get an egg
from a stranger.
A stranger. She wants to know the medical history and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm contemplating giving her my eggs because I don't need them. And I think they're just eggs. I'm not the mother.
Yeah, it's an interesting...
Yeah,
I think mother. Would you give mothering.
Your ring? Would you give your egg away?
I think if it was a really close friend or like my sister or something, I'd definitely consider it, because I feel a bit like you about that. And it's there's more to being a mother than the sort of biological bit. And I think I'm quite.
And I also feel the joy that I about get all now. Of it, really. Like I have such joy from being a mother. I had no idea. I had never babysat any children before having kids. I didn't even want kids. My friends had kids. I gave them back. I loved it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I have a kid, and I don't know. I love it.
It is the greatest joy.
It is. Actually, and I was thinking as well about what you were saying, Liv, about your worries about your daughter and the issues and stuff. But I suddenly thought, hang on a minute. I can give you a really close to home example, because my parents split up when I was only 4.
Oh, right.
And they had a very, like, I can't remember any happy memories of their marriage together at all. And I can remember them splitting up.
Wow.
But then when I was 7, my mum met my stepdad. My dad met my stepmom.
Amazing.
I started, my brother was born. And now I always say to people, I've got 2 examples of happy marriages rather than 1 example of a bad one.
Well, see, that's lovely.
You know, the life goes on. And you never kind of sit around going, I never once thought my mum and dad should be together. In fact, I don't really understand how they were together.
Wow.
You know.
I'm happy to hear that. I just don't.
No, maybe you're not there yet. But it's actually, you know who you're really thinking about with the trust issues. It's probably... not your daughter, because your daughter's going to be fine. Right. It's about you feeling like that, but that will all come because you're talking about it.
She's educating it head herself. On. She really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of healing with exposure, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, and also you loved fully, and now you've loved truthfully and fully.
Yeah. That's the beauty.
Is the beauty. Yeah. So now you have a little girl out of it who's made of love, and then you're. Start with yourself and grow with her with that, and they'll make your own future.
Yeah,
and
one
day you'll find yourself somewhere and think, this is exactly where I'm meant to be, and none of this would have happened if that bozo hadn't done that.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to say, thank goodness, because it's led me to this bit, and this is exactly the right thing now.
Yeah.
I really believe in all that.
It's your big trauma in your life. That's that's your big, you know. I might get cancer or something else.
I'll
your trauma.
Get cancer.
We're not going to make a list of all the other possible traumas you might experience.
You do get you don't have that many crazy traumas. You'd be very unlucky.
Yeah.
I think.
Still the best breakup story I've ever heard. No friend has been able to feel it.
You're like, I can trump this.
It's the best dinner table conversation.
Yeah. It definitely adds silence to the dinner table.
Yeah, wow. What do you say next after that? Yeah.
I know. Seeing friends' reactions, because they obviously all knew him.
Yeah.
Was just the big one.
Seeing our dad's reaction.
Yeah.
Our family.
My grandmother's reaction. Yeah.
but really you're the one anyway. Who'll live a happier life, and he's got to sit around stewing in whatever stupid mess with all these horrible people he's got around him. So
yeah. Birds of a feather, right? Flock together.
Yeah.
They don't really know the full truth, so I think he's definitely painted something that he's made them
quite into all that. How did you find your – do you think work helped you when you were – doing bits and bobs.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Gosh, I think I would have probably, in a way, being that far pregnant, because obviously I know it sounds horrible, but I couldn't terminate. Just the thought of it, the fact that I even wanted to when I found out is now when I look at my little girl, I'm like, wow, gosh.
Horrendous.
That's where I believe what you were saying, how the world does take care of you and it'll all make sense, because I really do believe that. I'm like, I don't want to cry again. That she was meant to be here.
She's a little, she's wonderful. She's healthy, she's strong, she's fiery.
Yeah.
You know, I do compare it. My daughter's more gentle. So I kind of think that's going to give her the balls to life.
What was your question again?
I was asking about how work.
Oh yeah,
you can throw yourself into things and
being pregnant, like having a child and working, was basically just like what got me through.
Yeah, I think being busy is always good. Yeah. You know, our mum has this famous saying. What's her, I think I call it the Flav Nervo saying.
Yeah,
but if you need a job to be done,
ask a busy lady.
Yeah, give it to a busy girl.
I've actually quoted that just today, earlier today.
Really?
Yeah. I really like that as well because...
as you clean up the mess of your five kids.
Exactly. Because women are naturally, supposedly, quite good at, you know, multitasking and problem solving. And I think, you know, parenthood obviously brings a lot of those things to the fore. Mm. And actually, now that I've got a few kids, I kind of pride myself on like
being busy.
But also if something happens, like if you know, one of them spills something or something, they've got no clothes, I'm like, come on, problem solved. There's got to be a way to get myself out of this. do you think your having babies has influenced your creativity? Do you think it's changed how you feel about work?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're writing some really worldly, heart, deep.
We're writing beautiful lyrics.
Yeah, deep.
Do you remember that song?
Rockabye Baby.
Oh, I love that song. No, but I Hope You Dance.
Oh, yeah, it's a country song.
That was written for her daughter, that the mother, she was a big country singer and a dancer, not singer, writer. And that was her biggest hit. And when she was asked about it, she said, it was about my child. So I'm hoping we have a huge hit.
Yeah, that would be nice, right? That would be so nice
for someone else or for anyone.
It's just changed us so much. Mm. You know, we're writing baby nursery rhymes and we're doing like, we're really doing different things.
Yeah.
Which I really like. You know, I think
it's the next phase.
I do miss DJing. I really do miss getting up there and just going crazy and feeling that energy. And I mean, of course we do our radio shows and things like that, but it's not the same.
And did you ever feel when you first went back to do things in clubs and stuff, did you feel weird about being a new...
No. I didn't. I only feel weird now.
I did on the dance floor and stuff. No.
Really?
Did you? Yeah. But you didn't have any of that?
No.
What about your sense of your actual physicality?
That's horrible.
Because there's obviously a real look that goes along with the club scene. And
yeah, it's horrible.
So you use quite a lot of lycra quite often.
We do. A lot of plastic that sucks you in.
Yeah. But how did you find all that? Because it's quite topsy-turvy sometimes.
Baggier tops and learning to love your curves a bit more. Or if they're not really curves in my case. They're just like...
Oh, plonks. Come on. I think all of us are pretty lucky, though. We all bounce back pretty, like,
Look at
you, Sophie. Five kids.
I'm dying.
Do you know what I found funny?
Generous, but you guys always looked amazing. I think, honestly, following, you know, your Instagram and... I always love you to see what you're up to, but I do think it's always a place that makes me smile, and you always look so happy, and there's so much love that comes not just for you and your little ones, but the two of you together. It emanates from the pictures.
Yeah, we
and
are
the work
a unit.
You are.
She's my wife.
Yeah, there you go.
you don't need a husband. You already have a wife.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, but you know what we found quite interesting? So going back to what you were saying about how we're in such a youthful business,
obsessed.
I guess.
Mm. Or youth obsessed. The world is youth obsessed.
Yeah.
And
the fountain
are.
Of
but
youth.
You need to look. Music. Particularly dance
and particularly
music.
For women in dance music.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You can be an older bloke DJ.
You
can. Yeah. But the thing is, what I really, the double standard in it all, which I'm not mad about, it was just interesting to see that when we, obviously we have to announce that we've got kids because it's so
obvious that when we become pregnant, it made it onto our social media and to the outside world. But all these DJs that you wouldn't know had a herd of children at home all come up to you, start showing you baby photos. And it's like, wow, mm-hmm. I've been touring with you like 10 years and I had no idea that you had two kids at home.
Yeah.
So suddenly you become part of this gang. And I think what I'm proud of and what I love about Nervo versus some other of the male DJs.
Yes, we tell people.
We are transparent. We're happy. Whereas there's a lot of this kind of, I think a lot of the blokes aren't exposing the truth of their kind of family lives. They're like just sipping tequila bottles and stuff, but actually they're family men at home on the weeks, during the weeks. And I wonder how long it'll be before hopefully that narrative can change. You know, I'm seeing Alok, a Brazilian DJ, posting a lot about his newborn now. Yeah. And but I've certainly not seen the older guys who now have grown kids ever put their family on social media. It's interesting.
No, you're right. And it's
but us women have to.
We do, but actually really it sometimes makes you feel like you've been put in a little different box of like, okay. I mean, I remember when, because I had Sunny when I was 25.
Yes.
So not like mega young, but relatively.
Yeah, young.
And then I felt like after that, doing the sort of pop music and the stuff that was, you know, trying to get played on Radio 1 and this kind of thing, I just felt like I'd put myself in this different sort of bracket. Mm. And I did feel like it was
Do you think just it not affected that cool your career?
Yeah, but I think actually a lot of it, I just sort of found my own feet with shaping it a different way.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I think there was probably a few years where I felt like there were two different things trying to run along. And I felt fine about it, but other people I felt were not as welcoming.
Do you know what I think's interesting? I bet your fans didn't feel like that. I think it's sometimes the people in the biz.
I totally agree.
The
record label
execs, the men that are around you, and they're like, oh, you're not sexy anymore.
Exactly.
She's a mum.
Yeah, she's a mum.
Yeah. Whereas had you spoken or been able to even really speak properly to your fans, then I bet so many of them would have been like, wow, look at that.
Well, I think you're right about all of it, because I think the narrative does have changed. Because one term I've always detested is that MILF thing. I'm like, don't chuck me a bone here. Like, you know, if the women can be all these things. Like,
you detest the word MILF?
I hate it.
I think love it.
Really?
Of course I love it.
I mean, I love I want to be a MILF.
I think it's so degrading, though. It's like you've got a term, like as if you need a term, because otherwise...
I think if
you're
empowering.
Not called it, then you're not it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't
it. I think it's empowering.
Okay.
It's like DILF as well, daddies. You know, I don't know. I find that a positive.
Okay. All right. I have to feel a bit different. I don't know. I've just always felt it's a bit like.
Maybe because you were younger.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, you were young. Yeah.
It's true. You're a decade
it
younger
than
us. It
just felt a bit like. Bit pitying, I suppose. Like, oh, don't worry, I still would. Like, shove off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Because you were probably still ready to be like, not a MILF, just a normal.
Just
like,
drinking on a Friday night.
Exactly.
Just because you have a kid doesn't mean you're an alien.
Exactly.
Did you find your friendship group changed when you became a mum? Because this is something we were talking about the other week.
Mm.
No. I think like my really close friends are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a bit when I had kids and they hadn't, where I felt like, it just used to feel like they'll get this one day when they've got kids. Why, you know, like if we, I don't know, arranged to have supper together and we were meeting at 8 and I got there at 8 and then they got there at like 20 past and they'd be like,
home
late. And I'd be like,
I have to go home.
If I'd known you were going to be here at 8, you know, 8:20, I would have done the bedtime story and I would have had time for that. And now I missed the bedtime story because you were late and now you don't, you know, and I just used to feel like they didn't get
it.
That all those all those things matter in a different way, and leaving early and all that as well, and all the feeding and all the stuff that just takes over your brain so much.
Yes.
So I felt like my friends didn't have, most of them didn't have a kid till I had my third, which is when I was 32, 33.
Yeah.
And that was when everybody started having their first, mainly, like, broadly speaking. Except for my best friend who's just had her first last year, which is really sweet.
Wow.
So, it's really nice. Actually, the year before last year, godson Finn and Mickey are the same age. It's really
Isn't
cute.
It funny that you've been having kids throughout all of those women?
Yes. But I'm still learning. I still feel like I do things differently with each of them and learn new bits and bobs. And definitely. I don't feel like I can't like high five myself yet. And until they're all.
Oh, I'll high five
they're
you.
They're all grown ups. And women, I'm like.
I think women and mothers, I just think they're amazing. I really do.
Do you think you'll have a sixth, I can't say that word, sixth child?
I'm really bad. I can't say like never? Definitely not, but wow. I think it's really unlikely because I honestly feel like my head's kind of at maximum capacity now. Especially with COVID. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when the lockdown happened, I was like, whoa, this just wasn't a factor in the family planning. So
Yeah.
But then I don't know. I mean, what's happened in the past is that they get to a little bit older than Mickey and I start thinking, oh, maybe another. But then this time I'm like, he's quite a good one to end on, you know. He's a dancing baby. Oh, he's quite so good gorgeous. Fun, so.
He's a happy good baby. Finale.
He is happy.
And social.
Yes. Yes, he loves seeing you guys. Yeah. He likes seeing new people, new faces. Mm. Yeah. I suppose the other thing I wanted to ask you, actually, but and I know this won't be not circumstantially, but do you think you're the sort of mums that you thought you'd be so far, small people?
Good question.
Great question.
I think we're so early in the mummering, if that's even a word. Mumming.
Don't think it's
a word. It's not a word.
I think I'm not. I've surprised myself. I thought I would always be very strict. And I think I am a pushover.
Yeah.
Like, me too. I'm trying to.
I don't think you are. I mean, I am.
No. Like, I'm trying sleep to stop time. Breastfeeding. Like, I co sleep with my little girl, and she's still breastfeeding, and she's 14 months. I really thought I would stop by now. I've tried a few times, but I just, you know, it's just easier to keep her on the boob than, you know, than insist to get. That she. Calm herself without it. So, yeah, I think I'm a lot softer, which is a bit annoying because I want a well-behaved child.
I think that also comes being working mums, because if we are working for 6 hours in the day or 8 hours, when we get home, we just love those cuddles.
Yeah.
So if you had to discipline and say, no, you need to eat all your vegetables and then you can have some pudding.
Yeah, even food, I had to give her biscuits all the time because I feel like she's a bit skinny.
Give her some
fatten her up.
Chubba. And do they come along to any work things? Because you obviously used to bring along to everything, but do they actually come like backstage at clubs and things like that sometimes?
No. Unless we were going straight from the gig to the airport, they would stay in the trailer.
Okay.
Which always hasn't happened a lot though. Normally they're in the hotel. So we're actually only apart from them for the few hours of the show.
And even now they still bring them around with you or?
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't bring them to the studio anymore because they're just too loud. We don't get anything done. They're at home now, so straight after this we'll go home and see them.
Yeah. And do they like music? Do they kind of bop along to the clubby stuff?
My girl loves it. She sings. Yeah, she's...
Your girl's a little performer.
She's definitely got something. I mean, your girl does too, but they're just chalk and cheese. They're different.
Really?
Yeah.
You can really see that already?
Already.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Ace is more quiet. But she's stronger.
When do you think you saw the character of your kids? Like what age and how
some
much
of it? Quite early, I think.
Yeah.
But I think...
Under two?
Yeah. I'd say there are like little tiny things from when they're really small, but I think probably from about, 14, 15 months, you really start seeing quite the sort of bigger brushstroke things emerging and you think, okay, you're that kind of guy or this kind of guy. Yeah, definitely. And it's really nice. It's really exciting.
You think,
you're that kind of character, or I see you find that kind of thing funny, or that's the sort of, you know, music you like, or how you like to run around, or toys you like to play with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mickey's just sort of just getting into his stride, I think. And also it's normally when they stop being really sort of quiet and easygoing and get really vocal. And
yes.
Mickey's quite shouty, which I find it's hard. I wouldn't be able to bring him to work now. No way. I used to bring him on tour and now it's like, you're going to stay at home.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't get anything done. But
well, we brought them on tour last week and we loved it because I don't know about you, we just find we're cleaning the whole time. Whereas if they come on tour with us, hotels are fine. You can mess them up. I would never change a nappy without a changing mat on a bed, just in case.
At home.
But at a hotel.
Yeah. I know. No, it's definitely.
And we ate in bed, right?
Yes.
We would never do that at home because... No. And I have to change the sheets and I'm sleeping with crumbs for a week.
Exactly. Actually, that is what happens in my house because the kids normally have like toast or something in my bed just before.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's really annoying. Yeah. I'm a bit of a pushover basically. Oh. And so if it's like bedtime and then they say I'm hungry, I'll go, okay. And then they'll watch like a little cartoon and eat some toast or something.
But is Richard more the disciplinary parent or you both pushovers?
He's probably a bit more... I'd say I'm like the more everyday strict, like get cross about things or be relaxed about things. And he's the one, the bigger, like, okay, now this has to stop. And
okay,
he'll be kind of quiet, and then just be like, so if you've made
a big boo-boo.
Which, of course, yeah, then yeah. that's, like, serious. It's Whereas nice. For me, the kids are like, well, I've sort of seen you angry before. I know it doesn't amount to much. Oh. You know? They're not scared of me, which I find very disappointing.
I think that was how our family was, actually. Our mum was the everyday disciplinary. And our dad was the, when he spoke, you had to listen.
Yeah.
We all listened.
Yeah, it's funny. And I think we're probably more traditional than I would have imagined we'd
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you are a quirky couple, but yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to raising kids.
Yeah, you kind of revert back to things sometimes. Do you think you can imagine your girls when they're older, like, DJing together?
Yes,
come definitely.
On. Absolutely.
You have to keep it already.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Mummager right here. Kris Jenner 2.0.
I would love that. I would love nothing more than for our career to morph into the managers of our kids. If they loved it.
Wow. Yeah. We're so lucky that we're family and yeah. we've somehow built a career in music. I mm-hmm. find, you know, because the arts, the biz is difficult. I mean, you're lucky also because you've, even though Richard's not your twin, he's your partner, so he's kind of been with you for a long stint, right? Mm-hmm.
Did your mum help you through your music at all? Because she's a personality, isn't she? She's
But she's more in a TV person. She used to present the children's TV program, so no, they were sort of. I think that was kind of in a way what attracted me to the idea of working in music. Not just the fact that I love music, but my parents both worked in telly, so it was similar enough that they were not fazed by the fact I went to music, but it was different enough that it always felt like mine.
Your own, great.
Yeah, so they've never really... I've sort of been the one to tell them about how the music industry works and things like this. So they don't freak out because they know vaguely, like, the sort of peripheral things the same, but the core of it's, like, always been mine.
Yeah. Did they help you with big decisions like finding a manager or a record label or anything like that?
No, but I'll talk them through everything. But no, I mean, my parents normally have quite a sort of simplistic idea of, like, well, why don't you just release this? Or why don't you just tell them you want to do that? Yeah. And it's me going, well,
it doesn't work.
And yeah, different mechanisms that go on.
Just go number one.
Exactly, yeah. I know. Oh, I know. The disappointing thing with
your
parents
just
think everything should just be massive all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But
yeah. It doesn't work like that.
No. No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
But my brother's a musician as well, so he's a drummer. So I think the two of us have kind of in a similar industry, which is cute. My brother comes on tour with me sometimes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a full family affair.
It is, I know. I love it, though. That's the beauty of it. And because you two have always done your work together, presumably a lot of it never felt like work, and you've learnt together and always had each other as counsel.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
It's everything.
It is.
That's been the
reason why we're still
the secret to our endurance.
Yeah.
I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. And how significant do you think it is that you both became mums at the same time?
Oh, I think it's really, I think it's,
it was a lucky, look, it was a mistake. It was a lucky mistake. Well, we planned it a little bit, but it wasn't really.
What happened was when Mim got pregnant, we all were kind of, we knew you were trying. You got pregnant on your second go, like your second month. So then it was like, oh, wow, you're pregnant. And then we started looking ahead at the calendar and was like, well, you'll have to take this much time off, you know, 5 months. And my boyfriend and I had been talking about it for like almost 2 years. So we were like, you know, let's also try. And then we were lucky enough to get pregnant really easy as well. So
it was
it did just work out.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think more than that will just work out. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Oh, thank you so much. Lovely.
Yeah, I love you so.
So that was Mim and Liv telling their story. Well, the beginning of their story as mothers. But it'd be quite cool to catch up with them a few years down the line, I think. But I think you'd agree with me that those daughters they have are going to be pretty fearsome, strong women. They've got amazing role models. And not to forget as well that, you know, as with any aspect of parenting, not all mothers are maternal, not all fathers are paternal. But also, you do not have to be a father or a mother to be capable of nurturing, supporting. I think someone used the phrase mother hearts, but there's father hearts too, aren't there? We can all have father figures and mother figures in our lives, whether or not they have their own children. I know I was thinking today, because it's Mothering Day, Mother Sunday, I was thinking about the women that have helped me, or not just women, men too, but I suppose I was thinking mainly of women who'd helped me with how I set the framework of becoming a mum myself when I first had Sunny. I was 25 and didn't really have a lot of, I don't think I had any girlfriends. I had a baby at the time. And some of the women that helped me the most, people like our nanny, Nanny Claire, who was our nanny for 11 years,
and she doesn't have any of her own children. But my word, she really helped me become the mother I am now. And also, how cool is it that you can have babies and also be like really incredible international DJs? I think that's pretty darn incredible. And I know we did talk about it in the interview and say about how social media doesn't portray real life, which we all know, of course, but it does show you a little bit of how flipping fantastic Mim and Liv look, even after having these very small babies, which I think is really cool. I think it's really inspiring. They're very, they're just women I'm really, really fond of. And I think they're really thriving, not surviving these days. So that's all good. I am going to say next week it's Ellie Taylor, because we know it is. I've already recorded it and it's done. And she was great. And I see that she's now got her book, How to Ruin Your Life in the Simplest Way Possible. And it's all about having a baby and how, I think she might have called it My Baby and Other Mistakes. But now I'm walking away from the house. I haven't got my laptop in front of me. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. Anyway, if you go on Ellie Taylor's page, you can pre-order the book. It looks really cool. It's sort of the insight into how she found motherhood when she wasn't really sure she wanted to be a mum at all. I'm really rambling now. And you know what? Get this. This will make you laugh. I haven't even picked up the ketchup and the milk. Yeah, you kind of knew that would be the case, didn't you? Just ended up just taking advantage. You know what's really nice out here? It's really quiet. And besides, you know, maybe I'll say the first 5 shops I tried didn't have said items. I'm using it as an excuse. Right, I'll let you get on with the rest of your day. Thank you as ever for your time and lots of love. And whoever you are, happy, supportive person day to you. Because I'm sure whether or not you're a parent, you've helped someone on their way to being a parent themselves. Just because, you know, the very fact you're listening to this means you're interested in other people and the experiences they have. That makes you lovely. And on that note, I bid you adieu. See you soon. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.